your universe. This is DC Talk, episode number 81, recorded here on January the 26th of 2020. I and Mike, the one, the only, well, yeah, the one and only Mike. Well, no, there's more Mikes, but there's none as cool as me.
Okay.
Sure. And that one that you heard laughing and coughing in gleeful approval is Carrie. What's going on?
Oh, not much. I don't know about gleeful approval. I'm just mocking you.
Mocking me?
I'm just mocking you in general.
Join the club. Join the club.
Some of these puncture your ego once in a while. Yeah.
It does. Somebody needs to, but you know. I didn't think I had an ego.
I mean, you did say you know what? If you can't introduce yourself as the one, the only, without having some bit of ego there.
That's true. That's true. I give you that. And if you want to talk about how awesome me and Carrie's egos are and how awesome we are, you could do that by going to ranchatter.com/discord and joining us in Discord. We would love for you to join us in there. I think it'd be awesome. We have a lot of interesting discussions, and it's really good. So do that. You can become a Patreon member for just $1 a month. You could support us on Patreon and get awesome quality audio content like this. For those who don't know what's going on behind the scenes right now, my audio tends to cut in and out, and it's done it again on this episode. So for you get that kind of quality content when you donate to us. Isn't that awesome?
Sure. I mean, if you like weird sound quality stuff, then sure. Yeah.
Real life, real problems. That's what
real
it
life.
Is.
Yeah, exactly. Real life, real problems, and you know we're all human, and sometimes because we are all human, we screw up on the recording.
That's true. That is
it
true.
It happens.
And if you want to really tell us how bad we've screwed up, you can email us at dctalk@randomchat.com. Even though we know you screw up, you two hosts are absolutely the best DC Comics host that we have out there to listen to, and we're willing to deal with the audio issues. And you do those things by emailing us dctalk@randomchat.com, finding us on Twitter @randomchatter. You can find me @TheDCFanboy. Carrie, where can these peeps find you?
You can find me @CarrieBlackfire42. That's K-E-R-I Blackfire42.
Man, I am amazing at segues.
You are?
No. I'm not.
Because that was a crap segue there. That's just you bragging.
But you know what else I'm going to brag about is finding all of our shows at randomchatter.com. Not just us, but all of our other wonderful shows. And if you want to brag about us, here's how you do it. You leave a review for us. Those really help us out in the podcast stores. Was that one better?
Yes, that was much better.
Sweet. So today, the DC quote of the week, I was actually watching Black Lightning this past week, and it's a Gambi quote.
Well, of course you were watching Black Lightning, because we have to talk about it later.
That is true.
But I approve of this Gambi quote.
It's a very good quote, very pertinent for our day and age. We know how you're probably listening to this with headphones in, probably looking at your phone right now, if you are, or looking at a computer screen. And it's very appropriate for this type of moment. Gambi said in the episode, "To live life, you need to connect with people." And the backstory with that was, you'll have to stay around until we get to our DC TV discussion to find out about that backstory.
Yeah, I mean, this offends my inner introvert, but I'm good enough at faking it that I can understand what he's saying.
Yeah, I read some statistics this week that were absolutely appalling to me. So I read some statistics on I do a lot of statistic research on youth, because I'm a youth minister, so obviously I do a lot of statistics on youth. So it says back in 2007 2012, 2% of youth between the ages of 12 and 18 chose to actually text people or use social media to connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
That number went from 2% to I think 48% of people now would rather you video chat them or text them than actually talk to somebody in person.
Oh, well, okay. I don't mind talking to people in person. I hate talking on the phone. I would rather people text me, and most people know that to text me rather than call me. The only exception is like my parents. They call me like once a week. But that's different. And I recognize that part of it is me just not liking to engage in small talk and stuff like that, and part of me is the fact that I do spend a lot of time on the phones for my job, so I don't want to be on the phone when I'm not at work. So
right,
yeah.
I mean, it was. I just thought it was an interesting, very interesting statistic.
Agreed. I agree.
So, but anyways, that's our DC quote of the week. So. At this time, if nothing else, Carrie, are you ready to move on into our news?
Oh, yes, I am.
Let's do it.
All right. So, first item on the list for our DC TV news is Damon Gupton is going to be leaving Black Lightning after season 3, or at the end of season 3. Now, he has been playing Chief Henderson, Bill Henderson, at the in Black Lightning, so he will be leaving at the end. They are not really renewing his contract at the end of this season, which is kind of sad. I liked Henderson, but you know, maybe they're going in a different direction. I mean, we don't know the full extent yet of Black Lightning's merger with the rest of the Arrowverse Earth Prime. So we shall see. In further, speaking of Crisis on Infinite Earths, the showrunners have confirmed that the heroes in the Arrowverse no longer know that there is a multiverse. Which was kind of set up at the with the Flash meeting the Flash bit in the Crisis, because you know Barry, Arrowverse Barry's like, you know, this should be impossible now, and DCEU Barry's like, it should be impossible now. What are you talking about? you don't know what? Yeah, this is all very, very cool, and so now the Arrowverse is in its own little pocket universe, and the rest of the DC TV and movie and animated universes are their own separate things. This also confirms that Titans and Doom Patrol are on separate Earths and do not interact with each other. So, So the Doom Patrol we ran into in Titans is not the same Doom Patrol that we ran into in Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
Which also explains why there are two different chiefs. Imagine that.
Look, hey. they were able to course correct that.
They were able to course correct. I like this a lot.
So, I did put something to kind of go along with what you're saying. I can't remember. Let me see where it is. So kind of what's going to the showrunners don't know that the heroes don't know that they're in the multiverse, which it does explain a lot of why, because people were asking a whole lot of questions this week. Was how come this person knows there is one, this person believes there's only them now, this person believes there's multiple ones still, because a lot of the shows were kind of different. Mm-hmm. It's like Supergirl believes they're the only universe now.
Right.
But that's because the heroes don't know that when they recreated the multiverse, they actually recreated the multiverse, not just their Earth.
Yeah.
So,
and we will get into that more when we start talking about the shows this week, because the fallout has started happening, and it's been glorious. It has been glorious, and it's been very, very fun, and it's only getting better. It's great. So
complete anarchy.
Complete anarchy. Yes. so speaking of the Arrowverse, so they have said that the Arrow season finale will make Green Lantern theorists very happy.
Yes.
Now I kind of had a thought worm as we were before we started recording tonight, in that since we really haven't seen really haven't talked to John a lot since the crisis.
Yeah, all we got was the scene where he went up to Lila and with his kids from behind.
Well, no,
we got
that scene. We got the scene at the end where they were talking about how Oliver was actually dead.
Right.
Did they call him John or did they call him Dig?
I don't know.
What if merging the Arrowverse says changed his last name?
Ooh.
What if merging the universes changed his last name and his last name is now Stewart? Now he
Ooh.
Could now I'm guessing that Jean made him remember I'm pretty sure Jean made him remember everything that happened, but
maybe he could be connected to Lynn somehow in this new setup.
Well, we don't know. Well, I mean, his stepfather's name is Stewart. Last name is
right.
Stewart. And
maybe his sister.
Lynn. Well, that's what we saw in Young Justice. Lynn is John's sister.
Right.
So maybe we shall
maybe.
See.
Well, I remember this question was asked when I went to the Comic-Con a few months back.
Mm-hmm.
They asked him, and I remember I know we had played this sound clip. Like, they were asking about will Crisis reveal, you know, the big theory that
John
is going to come
is
out
John
as
Stewart.
Yeah, it's going to come out as Green Lantern. He said he felt like fans will be very happy by the end of the season. There will be something given an answer mm-hmm. by the end
yeah.
of the season.
And
so,
apparently they're just reconfirming that.
Right. So, and they're making it to the end, the very end episode.
Of course they are.
Because obviously.
And when is the finale? Oh, yeah, the finale is next
week.
Next Tuesday. So, yeah, that will be
Tuesday,
the answer in a couple of days.
I know, yeah. And hey, he's supposed to appear on Flash.
That is true.
So he could... Is he going to appear as Diggle, or is he going to appear as Stewart on Flash? That'd be very interesting to see.
Well, we will
him
find
as...
out, because the Flash is when... And not for another couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, it's very odd that they are... I understand
yeah, it's
why
a
they're
another
doing
week.
What they're doing. I feel like it was very odd that they left Flash out. I understand they were trying to get Legends going, but then it is very odd for them to show one episode of Legends and then take a 2 month or 2 week break before they come back. Obviously, because they had the retrospective episode.
Yeah,
but
well, that's
I just
why
assumed,
I
right,
figured
it's just awkward timing.
It's a weird scheduling thing, but it's fine.
Yeah,
I mean, Legends is taking over Arrow's spot pretty much. So
yeah,
I mean, what can you do? All right, so our last bit of news, and this will probably be covered a little bit more when we get to talking about Supergirl and Batwoman, but this is just a general theory at the moment, but this last episode of Batwoman has set up a possibility for a possible World's Finest crossover with Supergirl, which I find very, very interesting.
Huh.
Because if you and we'll get to this a little more when we talk about Batwoman, but did you see the full picture of the cover from the Catco app? Okay, so there's Batwoman revealing herself as a lesbian.
Right.
Interview with Kara Danvers.
I saw that.
Yeah. Lena Luthor spotted in Gotham. And there's a tour of the Star Labs facilities. Referenced on this magazine cover, so...
Okay. So, in the World's Finest, you had Supergirl.
Well, World's Finest Batwoman. Is usually... Well, no, because World's Finest is usually a crossover between Batman and Superman.
Well, oh no, I'm looking at this one from 2012, July 2012.
Oh yeah.
It's got Supergirl, Batwoman, or it may be Batgirl, but I think it's Batwoman, Huntress, and Power Girl.
Ah. Okay.
Which would be very so. No, that's just what I'm looking at. It's part of the second wave of the New 52.
Oh, okay.
So it's the newer one is the one I'm looking at. Huntress is the daughter of Earth 2's Batman in this one.
Okay.
So
yeah, I think I found it too. From 2012.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, that's the one I'm looking at. I wasn't looking at the other one. I know there's an older one from the, from like 1941 to 1986.
Yeah, and that's usually when Batman and Superman have crossed over. It's,
right.
Publications from the 40s to 86.
But I didn't know because you were talking about Lena and Kara, if they were going to go for the all-female.
They could.
Casting of World's Finest, because you had Kara was mentioned on there,
mm-hmm.
Batwoman was mentioned on there, Lena was mentioned on there. Lena could probably come out as a Power Girl somehow, you know, because we know she's going to be.
But Lena could be the supervillain.
Lena could be the supervillain.
She's kind of leaning that way.
And it's not impossible to get Huntress, because we know that they're not ashamed to grab people from the DCEU.
Mm-hmm.
Wink, wink, Crisis.
So, I mean, okay, to be fair, we've already had a World's Finest title for Supergirl. That was the episode where Barry crossed over in season one.
Right.
So they may not be able to recycle that title, but we pretty much know what World's Finest usually implies when they reference it in regards to DC. So,
but
yeah.
I thought it was interesting.
Yeah,
that's really cool. I like that. I'm really excited with this, and the reason I'm really excited with this is because they set it up kind of like, and we'll talk a little bit when we get to DC TV discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I really like how now we don't have to have a major crossover because they're all on Earth Prime now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to have a major crossover for them to get mentioned by somebody else, or for them to maybe see somebody else,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. Now it's hey, I need to speak to Barry. And Kara can just go over and talk to Barry for a second, and boom, that's it for just a small scene.
And, or just the idea of, you know, not even, you know, seeing each other in person. Like, they could be on the phone with each other. I mean,
right.
we've seen that in all of the Earth One shows by now. It's like, yeah,
right.
I just spoke to Cisco and XYZ, or I just spoke to Felicity and. ABC,
right.
Whatever.
Or you can have like Flash, like, you know, you don't even have to have Barry. You can just have like a blur, like Run by Kara
we've done that before with you know, when Oliver needs him and Diggle to get somewhere fast.
You know what we are missing though, and I need to say this, we are missing, and I hope we maybe get it.
What
is the race between Supergirl and Flash?
We need got
to get
that.
To the race.
No, we got that. We got that in the episode I referenced. Go back. Go season one, episode 18.
Huh?
They had the race at the end of the episode.
Did we see who won? I can't remember.
No, because that was part of the impetus was to get them both going fast enough that Kara could jumpstart and get Barry and get him back to his Earth. Back to Earth One.
Who do you think would win?
I don't know.
My money's on Flash, hands down.
I don't know. I think possibly Kara could win.
Maybe.
But I could be wrong.
But I'm looking forward to it. But that's all of our DC TV news and general news. Justice League Dark movies and shows are in development from J.J. Abrams' Bad Robot. This is not surprising.
Yay.
Because we kind of hypothesized last year when we heard that J.J. Abrams was going to sign his company was going to sign a contract with HBO Max and Warner Brothers, that he probably was going to be in line to do some stuff for DC Comics. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that he's at the helm of the Justice League Dark movies and TV shows.
Yeah. And apparently, I mean, Guillermo del Toro has, I mean, they haven't said who's directing it, but Guillermo del Toro has said that there are screenplays written. We don't know if DC will use them. I would love to see Guillermo del Toro's take on Justice League Dark. I think that would be amazing.
The animated adaptation was pretty good.
Oh yeah, I agree.
So,
I would love to see them bring in, you know, Swamp Thing, because I mean Swamp Thing's just languishing on Earth 19 now, all canceled and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be very nice to finally get that actor back in this one, and maybe we can get some of the Blue Devil we never got that we were, you know, tempted with.
That would be nice, but we shall see.
I want to see them two and Constantine team up just for some reason.
Oh yeah, I would love to see them and Constantine. I still want to see Constantine team up with the Doom Patrol, because why not?
Right. Hey, I'm still holding
out. I'm trying not to sound greedy, but I mean, come on.
Hey, I'm pretty greedy in the fact that I'm still hoping we get some Matt Ryan Constantine crossing over somehow with some Tom Welling or Michael Rosenbaum for Clark and Lex, and you know, probably happen.
I would love to see him pop up in season 5 of Lucifer. So,
I know.
Who knows?
Oh. Who knows? So congratulations, J.J. Abrams. Everything he seems to touch with his hands on tends to turn really, really well. So yeah. I'm excited about this future endeavors that we're going to get from him. Rosario Dawson has been cast in HBO Max pilot for DC Comics DMZ. Okay. For those who don't know who Rosario Dawson is, she was the... she was... I don't want to say nurse. That's not the right word.
She was Claire in the Defenders...
in a Marvel Netflix verse. So,
she also voiced Barbara Gordon in the Lego Batman movie.
Right, and I've just seen her recently in something else too.
She was in Sin City.
Yeah, that's not what I've never seen that. I know. Carrie's like, what? Yeah, I've never seen that, Carrie. I'm sorry. I'll do better.
It's okay. It's not that's not a DC comic, so I'm not expecting you to watch it for anything we might be talking about. What?
I know where I saw her. Okay, so she is Diana Prince and Wonder Woman in Bloodlines.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And she also played Nevada in the new Zombieland Double Tap movie. That's where I just recently saw her.
Oh, okay. That explains so much.
So all right, and
this isn't part of the headline, but this will be helmed by Ava DuVernay, who is currently working on The New Gods. Directed Wrinkle in Time. She directed the Netflix miniseries, or is it movie, When They See Us. I know some other people on the network didn't like it, but I loved her take on Wrinkle in Time. I thought it was amazing. You haven't seen it, or you just didn't?
Haven't seen it.
Oh, okay. I'll fix that one of these days.
And then you put this next one in here for me, Karis.
Yes, I put this in for you. You want me to introduce this?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Go for it.
So, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina someone from the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina has apparently made a surprise appearance on Riverdale, and since I don't watch Riverdale, I am not familiar with this person, but apparently it was the character of Billy Martin, who is played by Ty Wood. He is Baxter High Raven's player, from the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Apparently, he made an appearance on Riverdale this past week. And, yeah. And according to another article I found this week, there are apparently references to the show Riverdale in every episode of Chilling Adventures of Sabrina this season. However, I do not watch Riverdale, and I'm only on episode 2, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Mike, are you caught up with Riverdale?
I'm not. I haven't seen the last two episodes. I'll be honest, I really love the show, but the storyline kind of really dragged this season, and it kind of just maybe kind of, it was almost one of those, have you ever had one of those shows like, all right, well, the new episode just dropped, so I guess I better go watch it. Have you ever had one? It's been kind of like that. It became, you know what, I could do so many other things with that hour rather than sit there and...
Yeah.
And do it. So,
but you haven't seen Sabrina at all, have you?
No, I haven't seen any of that. But okay. I do. I'm only 2 episodes behind on Riverdale. So I do. I'll go back and I'll watch it here probably the next few days. But
cool.
I appreciate you thanking me, Carrie.
I try. You know.
I know. Well, I have one more bit of news. So I listen to a lot of podcasts in my life. Probably more than iTunes can hold. But I listen to a lot of podcasts, and one of the podcasts I listen to is Inside of You by Michael Rosenbaum, and I mentioned this before. He does a podcast where he speaks with like actors and those that that are in the business and that kind of thing, and it's just an open air, hey, let us talk about it, because he's trying, a lot of the podcasts is to help bring an awareness to mental mental health problems and things are going on, and it's a very opening, and it's amazing on that podcast that sometimes he'll get, like, one of the guests will reveal something about him. They, for example, before this one I'm about to mention, they had I cannot remember her name, but she played she was just in Gotham, and I can't remember her name now. When we watched Gotham, what was her name? She was the doctor.
Miranda Baccarin?
Yep.
Okay.
He had her on the podcast, and it was a very, very good podcast with her. But recently he had Stephen Amell on, and he had Stephen Amell on after he had just finished recording the final season of Arrow, the final episodes. And during the podcast, as I'm listening to it myself, I could hear Stephen Amell's breathing just get very labored while it was going on. And then he just says, is anybody else hot in here? I'm really sweating right now. And then he says, you really are sweating. He said, I'm a little warm. He said, but you are really sweating. And he says, almost, and you hear the guy in the background say, hey, are you feel like you're going to throw up? And he said, you know what? I think I am. I really think he said, I just need to get out of here. I have to get out of here. And you hear Stephen Amell said, I've really got to. I'm exhausted. I just need to get out of here. And so he said, well, do you just want to come back? He said, no. He said, no. I'm just done with this interview. I'm done. He said, I gotta go. I gotta go.
Mm-hmm.
And he just gets up and just leaves during the interview. And
wow.
And he said that. So Rosenbaum, after that, Stephen Amell messages him a little bit later and says, hey, I want to come back and finish this thing. It was like 2 or 3 weeks later. He says, I want to finish the interview. So he comes back and he kind of explains, this is what happened. He said, I went into full anxiety attack mode on the podcast. He said, I was tired. I was vulnerable. He said, I was just, you know, I was overwhelmed. I just got done finishing. He said, I'm cold. And he said, Amell said, I should have canceled for starters. He says, I left here. He walked home in the freezing cold.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Rosenbaum tried to pull up next to him in his truck and said, hey, man, let me just get you home. And he said, no, I just need to walk. He said, I just need to listen to my podcast. I just need to walk. And he got home. He put a blanket on himself, and he told his wife, he said, I had a really bad panic attack. So they called, I don't remember what he said. He called some kind of medical professionals, and they come in and hooked an IV up into him.
Mm-hmm.
And Rosenbaum later texted Amell's wife just to check on him. He said I was at my breaking point, and just a lot of things going on. So it was interesting. It was very eye opening to see this and to actually hear it going on in my headphones when I'm like, holy crap. And I think it brings a lot of awareness to the fact that these actors that we watch in these shows, they go through things just like us, and they have panic attacks just like us, and they get exhausted just like us. They may play a superhero on stage and on TV, but they have real life issues too that they deal with. And
yeah, they're all human.
Right, right. I applaud Rosenbaum for being there, understanding what was going on, and it's amazing that this podcast deals with mental health. And Stephen Amell right there in the middle had a panic attack right there in the middle of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I applaud Amell for coming back and saying, you know what, I want to finish this thing. I want to tell people this is what happened, this is why it happened, and if you need help, let's get some help. Don't deal with it on your own. So it was a good podcast.
Cool.
I encourage you to go, if you have time, Carrie, to go listen to Inside of You, at least the last two, with those two guests.
I will try. I'm kind of at peak podcast right now.
I know, so. I know, but
I'm behind on our own network's podcasts right now. I've the last four episodes of our own network's podcast to catch up on.
Well, you could just do like I do. I just don't listen to Guardians anymore just because I'm tired of all the Marvel news. No, I'm just I'm just kidding. Oh,
Mike. We've talked about this. This negativity of yours is not going to cut it.
No, actually, there's the Guardians of MCU are the only Marvel podcast, believe it or not, that I listen to for my Marvel news.
I do believe that.
They are. So, anyways, that's all the news I have. Anything else, Carrie?
Just to reiterate, if any of the Guardians hosts are listening,
we love you.
You're welcome. I did. Sit on. If you need me to sit on mic some more, I will totally do that.
Hey, I gave them a good plug. I said they're the only Marvel podcast I listen to.
You did, but still, the offer is open, guys. If you need me to sit on him a little more, just let me know.
Okay,
you know where to find me.
Carrie will drop kick me later.
Yes, that is totally true.
That's true. But let's go ahead then, and I guess I'll move into our DC TV discussion.
Yes, okay, so Batwoman season 1 episode 10, How Queer Is Everything Today? And yes, that can be taken many, many ways.
Yes it can.
Yes. While Gotham busies itself reacting to Batwoman's awkward encounter with a handsome policeman, Alice celebrates her ultimate act of vengeance with Mouse. A devastated Mary focuses on Jacob Kane's trial, while Sophie seeks advice about her love life from someone unexpected. As they tackle the newest threat to Gotham, Luke prioritizes protecting Batwoman's secret, and Kate must decide what she's willing to do to honor Batwoman's identity and her own. This was a really good episode. I am really liking what they are doing with this show.
Hey, Captain America got multiple shout-outs.
He did. Mostly because Batwoman saved Captain America, or the Captain America look-like.
Multiple times.
And then got immediately shipped with him by, the general public until she came out.
Because, that's how,
That's because that's how things work now.
In the media, yep.
In fandom in general, you have to ship people with the people that you think they should be shipped with, and nothing else will work. Except for those people who see multiple different ships happening. Okay?
Tongue twister.
Yeah. I think I've been on record before I'm not one of those people who thinks that I don't believe in one true pairing or anything like that. I thought it was weird when Oliver got together with Felicity rather than Laurel.
Yeah,
but
that one,
it worked.
It did.
It worked in the end. It works. And
I still would have liked the Laurel one too.
You know what? And we had, you know what? Laurel and Oliver got together on Earth 2.
Yes.
Unfortunately, Earth 2 is no longer around, and we still don't know what happened to any of the people from Earth 2. So, but we might find out eventually.
Maybe.
But yeah, I've also said that, you know, as far as, you know, the Dick Grayson relationship debacle is concerned, I see him with Corey, I see him with Barbara, depending on, you know, how the story is written. I'm okay with either. It's fine. My best friend reads Bucky Captain America / Vic. So I understand I know that there are weird pairings all over the various, you know, comic book and fandom realms. It happens. I try not to limit myself to any one thing, because if you could write it well, if you could explain it well, if it makes sense to
it
me,
it works.
I'm here for it.
Right.
So, yeah. Anyway, that's my soapbox for tonight, or for now. I love that Kate is taking advantage of the fact that she's friends with Kara and they're on the same Earth.
Yes.
Especially with that cover, like as we went over before.
Yep. Which I think we're gonna get more of those little nods.
I think throughout. That is, and definitely I'm okay with in that. The cards. And oh boy, the fallout from Crisis has already started happening, because now we have an Alice and a Beth.
Right. That's Yeah.
We're gonna see more of this when we get into Supergirl next, but
yeah.
But wow. Do you think Kate wished that into being, or do you think that just happened?
I think, who was the Paragon of Hope? Was that Kara?
No, it was Kara.
Okay. So I think when Kara maybe wished Hope into the new universe, Kate's hope has always been to get Beth. And maybe
get Beth
if
back.
Maybe
yeah.
maybe it fed off of that and created
maybe.
A Beth.
Maybe.
In that universe. So, but you know what's really awkward is Alice's tea party next to Catherine's, next to Catherine's grave.
I mean, I get it. She's pissed that Catherine basically left her to be tortured by Mouse's father and, you know, stuff. But.
Yeah.
It's almost crippling how obsessed she is with, you know, and I guess this is the mark of, this can be the mark of a supervillain, that, you know, she's so obsessed with just getting back at this one person that she will stop at nothing. But Catherine is dead. And
yeah.
She can't hurt you anymore.
Well, the one who really worries me is Mouse.
Yeah, he is getting really psycho on all of us.
Yeah, I think he's going to...
He was already there.
Right. I think he could be the one to take out Alice.
Or he could try to take out Alice, and that brings her out of it, sort of, kind of, maybe?
Maybe he tries to take out Alice and accidentally kills Beth.
That... would suck.
Because one of Batwoman's major rogue gallery villains that she always goes against is Alice. So if you take one out, obviously we could say, well, you know, it's the multiverse. They could always come back. Well, really, is it now? I mean...
the multiverse is kind of gone.
Yeah.
But... no, I... That's... This is gonna... There, yeah, this is gonna be interesting on a whole lot of levels. So
yeah.
We shall see.
I think it's funny that she said the most violent, lawless place is a high school.
I mean, she's not wrong.
I really don't understand, though, why she didn't just kick Alice with the saw. I mean, I understand. It just seemed the way they were standing, like, okay, she could just kick Alice and the saw.
She might
drop.
Have hit the girl, though.
She'll be all right.
No.
She seemed like a trooper.
Not if the saw hits her when it gets kicked out of Alice's hand.
Okay, that's true, but... Okay, yeah, okay, I'll give you that.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else?
No, I'm glad. I like how Batwoman managed to come out and still not reveal her identity, her full identity to everything, to everyone. That was good.
That was interesting. I thought they were going to have like an early Arrow episode where Oliver eventually outed himself. I thought they were going to have like that, like in the first season of Batwoman. I'm like, no, please don't do that.
I don't think so because we've kind of seen what happens with what's happened with Oliver when he finally, you know, admitted to being the Green Arrow.
Yep.
And how that just basically put his entire family in danger. Not that his entire family wasn't in danger before. But, you know, it's understandable. There are reasons why Supergirl... there are reasons why Kara never outed herself as Supergirl. Except to, you know, the people that she trusts. With the possible exception of Lena. But... yeah, there are reasons for it, and I applaud her for being able to reveal some of her identity without revealing all of her identity.
I agree.
Yeah.
I am really worried about her. I can't remember her stepsister's name now.
Mary?
Yes, I am getting kind of a little concerned about Mary.
Her mom is dead.
Right.
His stepdad's in prison for murder, and I mean her world is falling apart. I mean, no one can tell you how to grieve.
Oh, I know. That's what I mean. I'm really worried about her because I don't know if she. I don't know. I worry about her safety because she. I'm not talking about worried about her going bad. I'm worried about her safety because. We don't know what she's going to do to herself or somebody else or how she's going to injure herself because of her world's been shattered.
Well, I think that with Kate being there in the end, I think that's going to help.
I agree, because she didn't want Kate at first.
No, because she was mad at Kate for trying to get Beth back instead of, you know, I mean... And that's hard. You know, how do you choose blood over, you know, anything else? And or how do you not choose blood over anything else? And up until Alice killed Catherine, Kate still thought there was hope.
Yeah.
So
now there's not.
Now there isn't any hope for Alice, but. She has Beth back, and that's weird. But we'll find out.
We will.
We'll find out how that all shakes out in the end, or maybe this week, or maybe in a few hours.
Yeah. Well, it's actually over with in about 5 minutes on my time, and the episode will be over with.
Yeah, for you, not me.
So I'll watch it here tomorrow.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's go. I guess we're going to move on. That's all for Batwoman. We can move on to Supergirl.
Yeah.
Season 5, Episode 10, the bottle episode. The subsequent complications from the crisis leave Supergirl to face a chaotic threat. Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum.
It's funny to me how Lex has no idea who Leviathan is.
I agree.
Yet.
He's gonna find out.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's going to be painful to watch.
Yes, it is.
Who is green now, by the way?
Ooh.
Brainy's green now.
That'd be Brainy. I thought that was so funny when I saw, like, multiple
Brainies.
Multiple Brainies. I'm like, okay. It just kept coming like, oh.
Well, and this is the fallout from Crisis continues with, you know, apparently all of the multiples of people from different Earths have all kind of gathered in National City, which wasn't on Earth 1 before, but is now.
Right.
And that apparently includes 5 different versions of Brainiac, 5, one of which is female. And
by the way, speaking on that note, for about 20 minutes of the episode, I kept thinking, I know who this person is. I know who she's from. I just can't pinpoint it. So I eventually had to stop the episode and go wiki her. It's like, I know who she is. I know her from Hawaii Five-O. I watched that show. And she's the main character on Hawaii Five-O.
Well, that's his sister in real life.
Yeah, right.
Megan Rath is Jesse's sister.
Right, but I knew her from somewhere. I just could not pinpoint it. It was irritating me. I couldn't focus on the episode because I couldn't figure out where she was from.
And that's I don't watch Hawaii Five-O, but I did watch both versions of Being Human, and she was the ghost on the American version of Being Human, which Jesse also played her brother on that. For a couple of episodes.
It's cool.
So that was I love how that works out, and they are both amazing, especially in this episode. And wow, watching Jesse play four versions of Brainiac
is just amazing.
Was just wow. That was great. I almost felt sorry for Lex.
You should.
Almost.
Listen, if there's any I'm just going to put out here, I love Michael Rosenbaum as Lex, but if anybody can come close, John Cryer is killing it
yeah.
as Lex.
He is killing it. And, oh, so that was Lex's deal with the monitor.
Mm-hmm.
for Lena to know, have all of her memories kept. Wow.
That was an awkward apartment scene where he's just making her food.
His deal was for Lita to keep all of her memories, but his mom to not keep her memories, and she just has to believe that everything Lex told her is true. That's weird.
That is weird.
But it's so nice to have the Luthor family all back together again, isn't it?
Yeah, no, Carrie, for those who can't see,
it's
Carrie is shaking her head yes
very
right
much
now.
Not nice at all. Because what could possibly go wrong?
Nothing. Nothing. Did you hear that they mentioned the anti-life equation?
I did mention that. I did mention that the female Brainiac 5 mentioned that. I went, oh, and my ears pricked up like, oh.
Could that be a seed for another big event in the future with the Arrowverse?
Please. Especially since we're getting the Superman Lois show.
We could be getting some Darkseid.
We could be getting some Darkseid. We could be getting some new god. Maybe not just Darkseid. Maybe some other new gods.
So
maybe,
it'd be interesting.
Maybe.
That could be the seed that they dropped it for. Let you know it's coming.
I mean, we've already seen that they're instead of using the monitor, the original monitor and anti-monitor storyline from Crisis, the anti-monitor was basically the name of one of the new gods anyway, or associated with the new gods anyway, so who knows what can happen now.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wynn!
Wynn's coming back.
Wynn is coming back actually this week, and have you seen any of the clips?
I have not, and the only reason I do is because when it comes to Arrowverse, I try not to watch those clips just because...
Also, tonight is Supergirl's 100th episode, so
you have to get Wynn back on the 100th episode.
We have to get Wynn back for that. I've also heard rumors that Chris Wood might be coming back this season, but the sources I've seen that from have not always been reliable. So who knows?
Is that we got this covered?
I wasn't gonna mention names, but
well, we can call them out. It's okay.
you can call them out if you want. I was trying not to mention names.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'll do better.
Well, you got anything else for a Supergirl?
No. This is all very fascinating. I am very much looking forward to the back half of all of these seasons, of all these episodes, of all these shows. It's great.
Ooh,
yeah,
okay.
I can talk well today.
Well,
yep.
Let's go ahead and move on then.
Okay, so Black Lightning Season 3, Episode 10, The Book of Markovia, Chapter 1, Blessings and Curses Reborn. Jefferson has to navigate the post-crisis world. Lynn's determination to save Medikids gets her into trouble. Blackbird has a new challenge. Jennifer and Brandon bond. I really want to know how much Jeff told the rest of the... I'm not sure if it's officially the Justice League or if it's just the Super Friends or what they're calling themselves.
Let's call them the Super Friends since we know Gleek somewhere in there.
Okay, fine. Perfectly fine. I really want to know how much he told them about what was happening in Freeland.
I don't know. You would think he would probably... I don't think he would tell anything to them because I think... Even though he helped them, I still think he's still kind of a little reluctant because of his person. So maybe he didn't say anything yet.
Okay. Oh, okay. So he did. He did mention that he was from Freeland, and if any of Cisco's satellites are keeping an eye on anything, if any of Cisco's satellites survived the crisis or are back up. They could probably, redirect one over to Freeland and see that things don't look so good over there. But still, I mean, you'd think he would say, I would hope that he would say something after just having, been annihilated with the rest of the worlds or anything, but who knows?
You know, that would have been a pretty cool crossover too, to see them having to fight the Markovian Metas.
That would be interesting. I would wonder if that would happen eventually.
I don't think this storyline makes it out of season two though for Black Lightning. I mean season three. Just because I don't think you want to drag this storyline on for two seasons.
No, not unless they make it a more global threat. Or if the Markovians go somewhere other than Freeland. Although now that there are metahumans all over the bloody place, why they're all going to Freeland, just going to Freeland, I don't know. I mean, there are lots of easier places to target now, apparently.
Go ahead.
I loved his monologue as he's flying back, though. It's like, Gambi, I met Superman. He's real.
Yeah. that was funny. That was good.
Yeah. But also, Gambi has a point. You know, let's not talk about the multiverse to people who outside the family because they might think we're all crazy.
Yep.
That said, once the whole crisis in Freeland is done, he either needs to call Jean or get a hold of one of those rings that we're going to talk about later.
Mm-hmm.
And clue
wake
his
some people up.
Yeah, wake up at least Gambi and the family and clue them into what's going on.
Yeah, they...
Or what's been going on.
Well, Jen kind of already knows what's going on.
Jen kind of already knows, but I think... But because she was kind of sort of non-corporeal at the time, I don't know how much she actually knows about what happened.
Yeah.
And she obviously wasn't there when Jeff was fighting with the rest of the League or the Super Friends or whatever. So she doesn't know about that part of it. So we need to, like...
Well, do you think... So with Damon Gupton leaving the show, do you think they're going to kill him off?
I don't know. I hope not. Maybe he moves out of Freeland. I mean, and we know he was running for mayor. Maybe he doesn't get quite as involved.
I could see
maybe Odell trying to take out Jeff and getting Henderson instead.
See, I could see like the season cliffhanger being Tobias Well taking out Chief Henderson.
That could happen, but he's still in the pit right now.
Is he?
I don't know.
Remember,
that's true.
Before the crisis, he ended up getting out of the pit. Because remember, he had Lynn get him out after he got all the info.
I thought he left him there.
No, I thought he got out, but.
I'd have to go back and look at that. I'd have to go back and watch that again.
We also know now that 20% is an acceptable loss.
No, it's not.
It's not, guys. It's not.
It's not. It's so not. That major, between her and
Carrie
Odell,
hates her.
They are They are things I cannot say on this podcast without getting mad at me.
And I have one here on one of my notes. Ooh, so let's talk about that Jeff and Anissa conversation in the hallway.
Yeah. Okay, so Anissa was not wrong.
Right.
Neither was Jeff.
Correct.
But this has been, the Resistance has been Anissa's show up until now. Just because Black Lightning is the known quantity should not take away from the fact that this has been Anissa's baby. And
it's true.
With the room deferring to Jeff rather than Anissa as soon as he walked in the room, that just, like, my hackles went up. Like, no. Anissa's been in charge. She should stay in charge.
I mean, I see why they did that. Because it was Black Lightning. He is the known, you know, he's
yeah, that's what, I see that, why that's they, what I was
that,
saying. You know,
that'd make it right.
Yeah.
But
Jeff did the right thing in stepping back and allowing Anissa to run things. And this way he also was able to see what she was capable of doing when she's, you know, on her own. And mm-hmm. I think there was definitely a you know, fatherly pride look on his face when Anissa was rallying the troops. And I thought that Ed, I think he made the right call.
I agree. Did Jen really think Odell would let her walk away?
Nope.
Did she really think she could kill Odell?
Nope, although I did not expect the hologram. That Odell is an evil SOB. You cannot bleep that because I did not actually say the
words. Right. That part was actually spoiled to me. I don't know how, but that part was actually spoiled. And I'm like, oh. How? So I kind of.
I don't
like,
know.
There
was something off about it. And I was just like, oh, crap. He's a. Wait.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Gamby's helping out. I can't remember the kid's name now. But the kid who can talk to
machines.
Who can talk to machines, and that's where that quote comes from the beginning. You know, to live life, you have to connect with people, not just things. It isn't healthy to live life behind a monitor all the time. You have to get out. But he did end up finding who tried to kill Gamby, and whoa, Lady Eve.
Now, here's the question: Was it really Lady Eve in the original timeline, or did Crisis on Infinite Earths resurrect Lady Eve? Because
right.
We knew Lady Eve was dead,
and we haven't seen Lala either.
We have not seen Lala either.
So I don't know.
But Lala did not kill Lady Eve. She's not one of his tattoos.
But at the same time, Lala may never have come back to life after Crisis either.
We shall see, because that was something that they were setting up. I would be very, very disappointed if Lala does not make another appearance.
Yeah, I hope he does.
Although apparently Khalil is back in full force this week, so...
Go Khalil.
That's going to be interesting.
It is. All right, so we only have a couple more shows. Let's try to let's see if we can get through these. So, Arrow season 8, episode 9, Green Arrow and the Canaries. This is kind of a backdoor pilot to the new show coming out. Well, that hasn't been picked up yet for a series, has it?
Not that I'm aware of. No.
So this is just
I really hope
pilot.
So though.
In the year 2040.
Although I should say that this has been the season's highest rated show. Even higher rated than the Arrow part of Crisis.
I think that's mainly because people were wanting to check it out to see how good it was going to be because they knew it hadn't been picked up yet. So I kind of take some of that fluctuation in ratings because of that.
Yeah.
So it's in year 2040. Mia Queen is everything she could ever wanted until Laurel and Dinah suddenly show up in her life again and things take a shocking turn. Laurel and Dinah track a kidnapping victim who has direct ties to Mia. I love the new title card.
I do too.
I thought it was very cool. I really enjoyed it.
I love the way they've been changing the title cards this season. I think they've kind of sort of run through all of the various iterations of the title card.
Yes.
And since this is the backdoor pilot, that's with, you know, the arrow with the canaries, that works. Dila's in the watchtower.
You think so?
Did you notice that?
I did. I noticed that.
So how she ended up in 2040, I have no idea.
But she has no trace of, she woke up after the reset. She has no trace of anything before that.
I was wondering how Dee and Laurel could end up in 2040 without aging makeup.
True.
Hey, I mean, we don't, what?
Go ahead. I was just going to mention something about the title card before I forgot.
What?
Like, I can see the final episode of Arrow being all the arrows that they've had for all the different seasons.
Yep. We'll find out on Tuesday.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Okay. No. They need to use that ring on William stat as soon as they find him.
Mm-hmm. I had a theory on my notes, and it didn't come true, that maybe William was the one wearing, like, behind, like, the Deathstroke mask, which I thought would have made a very interesting plot point.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But it didn't. It's not. So I ended up taking that off.
I have questions that will hopefully be answered in the finale, because from the pictures I've seen of the finale, they're still in the past.
Right.
So how'd they get back to the future?
The legends.
The legends? And they didn't bother to... So when did they get their memories wiped?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well,
okay. Yeah.
Well, I think all their memories got wiped right before.
Well, yeah,
the reset.
All their memories got wiped. John fixed some of them.
Well, the only one that seems to be in 2040 that has their memory intact was Laurel.
But that's because Laurel got her memory back from John, and Sisko apparently engineered a device that would do that for everyone.
Right.
That she touched.
And she never did that to Dinah.
Because Dinah got her memories back before the crisis. That's the thing I have questions about, because Dinah was in the Arrow episode of the crossover, and she was still back in 2020.
Okay.
So how it does Dinah and Mia and William end up back in 2040.
Maybe
there has to be something that happens in this finale that sends them to the future.
Well, I know they were brought back to the past by the Monitor.
The Monitor brought Will and Mia back.
And brought not Zoe.
Connor
back from the future. So maybe when everything reset after Oliver created the multiverse, they were just automatically put to where they were before the crisis happened. They were put back into 2040.
But then again, how did Dinah get there? And how, with no record of her ever existing on Earth Prime?
Yeah,
that's weird.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's extremely weird.
Yeah. So there are some things that hopefully they either answer in the finale or in the first season
of
the new show. If it gets picked up, I really hope it gets picked up.
Yeah.
Although putting them all the characters in the future keeps them out of future crossovers without a loophole.
Which I put my loophole was
the
legends going
again. Your loophole is the legends. Your loophole is the legends.
It's good
because
it's good to have
those.
They can
screw up everything.
That's right. They can screw up everything. We'll find that out in just a second. So Mia Queen, the socialite. Okay, different side. Laurel, we already mentioned the memory ring. Laurel has it. I knew Mia wasn't going to want to wear that suit.
Okay,
at the beginning.
But Laurel can't have the only one. Unless someone stole it from Laurel and used it on Connor. Well, not Connor, John. JJ.
I guess we'll find out.
We'll find out. Yes, like I said, I have questions.
And then after he burns up the marijuana plants, oh, I'm sorry, no, not the marijuana plants, on the roof, he burns up everything. He said that she won't be happy. We don't know who she is. So with this reset, could he be talking about Thea? Maybe Thea never got help with the Lazarus Pit.
Not necessarily, because she's also in the finale.
Right. So is Moira Queen. Could we talk about her? Could we talk about Talia?
My two theories, either Helena or Laurel.
Really? So we know Nyssa and Oliver are good now, but Talia and Oliver didn't leave on great terms though either.
No, that's true. Although they left on better terms, kind of, sort of, the last time they ran into each other, maybe. But Helena, I mean, this was her daughter that got her daughter that got kidnapped.
True. For those who don't remember who Helena is.
Helena Bertinelli.
Right, it's Huntress.
Yeah.
So just those who couldn't remember.
My other theory is maybe Laurel, and maybe this is more fallout from Crisis, so maybe there's multiple Laurels running around.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
That's all we really need. but I really was down on the show at the beginning, because I did not like the future storyline in the Arrow seasons. I thought it was a waste of a storyline, but this backdoor pilot really made me interested in the show now, and I really hope it gets picked up. I think they did it right in this one.
And I also really like that resetting everything brought back Zoe.
Yes.
Because I really liked Zoe as a character, and the fact that her dad is now mayor is just cool.
And it also makes you think that you're still going to get more of Renee.
More of Renee.
Well.
Right. More so you're
going to get
else.
So the only one you're probably not going to get is going to be Felicity and Oliver.
Oh yeah.
Because obviously we know Felicity's going to be back in the finale, but we don't know in what capacity. The last time we saw her, she left with the monitor.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Anyways, two more shows,
yes.
Carrie.
Yes. Okay, so Legends of Tomorrow, Season 5, Episode 2, Meet the Legends.
Oh my goodness.
Oh dear. Sarah, Ray, and Mick are shocked to discover that the Legends have become famous. And it seems that everyone except Sarah is loving the spotlight so much that they invite a documentary crew. I'm not sure that they invited the documentary crew. I think they kind of were made to. Board the Wave Rider to film them as they investigate a strange new blip in the timeline. The Legends discover that their new problem is none other than Rasputin, who happens to be straight out of hell and might be tougher than they thought. Meanwhile, Constantine thinks he knows the reason behind these new blips and informs the team that they won't be easy to defeat.
Gary's back.
And his wish to Nora was that he become Constantine's apprentice.
Oh my goodness. Can we just get a spinoff show with just Constantine and Gary?
You know what, there was a theory going around either last season or the season before. What, Constantine joined up season 3, yeah?
I like right at the end of season 3 is
right
when he came
season
in.
Three.
When
yeah.
they had once they had killed the dragon.
Yeah.
That was
end of season 3.
Right. He threw the head down in front of him on the beach. He said, "You realize that's what you just unleashed."
So there was a rumor going around that perhaps Gary is going to become Dr. Fate, because apparently Constantine has Fate's helmet somewhere.
Oh my. Can you imagine Gary as Dr. Fate?
I think Well, I think Dr. Fate asserts his own personality, so maybe that helps a bit. Who knows?
Oh, that was funny. Oh my goodness. And we have the Ant-Man moment, Tim. We have the Ant-Man moment that we've been waiting for.
Tim's not listening to this, unfortunately.
What?
But Tim doesn't listen to us.
Tim, if you listen to us, give us a shout out. Go.
Yes, and yes, Rey did the thing everyone thought was going to happen to Thanos in Endgame. He made himself bigger. He got himself swallowed by Rasputin, and then made himself bigger. And
did he really get swallowed, or did Sarah flick him into into his mouth?
Can't both be true?
Both could be true. And then he expanded. And
yes. And ew.
Rasputin went boom boom, and they stored him in jars.
So he can't be reconstituted. But Constantine drank one.
He just comes and grabs it. He just starts just chugging it down. And Sarah's
ew.
Oh, I had a cringe moment on that one.
Yeah, they really. I loved how they dealt with Sarah. It's like with the Legends really being the dip bleeps that they are. They don't really pick up on the fact that Sarah is not really handling this whole, Paragon of Destiny stuff and having to reconstitute the multiverse stuff well. And of course none of them can really know what that's like, because none of them were there except for Mick and Rey. And well, Mick and Rey got evaporated at one point with the rest of the multiverse. So yeah. Yeesh. But the whole thing was a fake in the end. That was great.
That was so funny. They just like, we don't know what you're talking about. And he's got him and walked away.
Yeah, it's like, by the way, this whole thing was fake. Yeah, you didn't really think time travel was real, did you?
Oh, that was perfect. I think that's going to come back to bite them in the butt somehow. Somehow.
I don't know. They have a lot of plausible deniability there.
Still.
Ugh.
I don't know. But that it was a funny episode. It was as funny as our normal ones, and we definitely get a week off before we see them again, because we'll have the 100th retrospective, or not the 100th, but the retrospective episode of Arrow this week. So we'll see them here in about 2 weeks, and that'll be interesting.
And then the other thing I don't have on my notes here, but Nate remembering Zari was just.
Yeah,
I had forgotten
who that guy was at first, and I had to go look. Right, I had to go look him up because I could not remember who he was at first.
Yeah, that was her brother, and her brother is kind of useless in a way. I mean, he kind of just doesn't seem to know what he's doing.
That's true. And the actress who played Mona is no longer on the show.
Yeah, she left. She's taking over Rory's writing career.
That's right.
Yep,
it's gonna be
right.
Interesting because now Rory's not writing anymore.
Aww.
But with the whole universe reset, it's always possible they could run back into what's his name?
Lucifer?
No, Rory's brother. I can't
Rory
think of
a
who.
Brother?
No, the Captain Cold. I can't remember his name.
Yeah,
Snart.
Captain Cold, Snart.
It was possible he could always end up back on the crew somehow.
Well, I don't know. I don't know that the actor is coming back anytime soon. Although he did come back to voice the character.
Right.
In the Crisis, but that was a special case.
But all we know is that I'm calling it now. Here's my theory. Beginning of season 5 Legends theory. By the end of season 5, Gary will have mastered some form of magic to the point that Gary will save everybody at the end of season 5.
This is a frightening prospect.
I love it.
You may not be wrong.
But it would be hilarious.
It's frightening and hilarious.
It is the Legends of
the
Tomorrow.
This is Legends of Tomorrow. They have embraced the weird.
They do.
And I do not object.
Ready for the last one? Well, I could definitely tell we are back to normal long episodes now.
Oh, yeah.
Of podcasting. So let's get to the last one then. Harley Quinn, Season 1, Episode 9, A Seat at the Table. Now a member of the Legion of Doom and Joker's equal, Harley finds herself spending time with him. Will she slip into her old ways?
Is she, though? Is she really his equal? Because he's back to treating her exactly like he used to treat her.
Yep.
Except now he's pushing. Except now instead of leaving her behind, he's pushing her out of the chopper.
That's true. Besides that, we really didn't think Joker changed. I mean,
oh no, no, no. He's still the same bleep he's been this entire show.
That's true. That's true. The whole Legion of Doom training video to me was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
The introduction video. Mm-hmm. All Bane wanted to do was some magic, guys.
Yeah, that's all he wanted to do.
He just wanted to do some
now
magic.
Now he's going to blow up someone because he got his name wrong. And apparently that's also Joker's fault because apparently he pays the guy at the coffee shop to get Bane's name wrong.
Oh, that's so funny. Harley has a case of bats now. She was excited.
Yes.
Steve from Tulsa. I don't know why he calls me that. I'm Steve from Tulsa.
Trying to make the Legion sound more diverse, I guess.
Yes.
I don't know.
I did like the way that they talked about when they were all around the round table. They were talking about what their plans were going to be, and they said they modeled after the way they do things at Pixar. It's like a DC Comics version of Deadpool is what this is to me.
Yes,
the show.
It is. I did like that Harley was poking holes in Joker's plan.
Yes.
That was good. I mean,
somebody needed
to. You have to have a little more practicality, dude.
All he wanted was to show a monitor of himself. I mean, come on.
But yeah, I mean, she's learning this lesson the hard way. I mean, she got so caught up in, you know, being a legitimate supervillain now that she basically lost all of her friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe she learns her lesson.
And I forgot why I put bake the cake. Do you remember?
I have no idea.
Somebody said baking the cake on the episode, and I cannot remember who said it.
I don't know.
Man.
But I so saw most of this episode coming. I like.
Yeah.
Except for King Shark's fin getting blown off. I didn't see that coming.
That's true. That's true. I didn't see that either. He doesn't work today. Poor King Shark. So, all right. Well, that's all I got, Carrie. Is that all you got?
That's all I got. Yeah, that's all I got.
All right. Hey, well, listen, that's been episode 81. We have a special episode 82 coming out probably the same day as you get this, or maybe the following day. Me and Carrie are going back and covering a Vertigo Comics comic book movie called V for Vendetta. So, keep that in mind. We'll explain a little bit more about Vertigo Comics on that podcast, and it won't be as long as this one because this one's like an hour and 15 minutes, almost an hour and 20 minutes. But it'll definitely be shorter. But we just want to cover that movie. We'll explain why later. So, anything else, Carrie, before we head out?
Nope, I don't think so. I think we pretty much covered everything.
We did as much as we could. So this has been DC Talk. I'm Mike.
I'm Carrie.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.